as the Lord dealt with me about this message, my prayer was, not monarch. But as I was sitting there a while ago shaking, the Lord said, you know what? David probably did a little shaking too. But he went ahead and took care of what he needed to do. And I'd like to tell you, he had some experience beforehand. I've picked up a little experience not too long ago myself. He had already gotten a little experience killing a lion and a bear. In my life, recently, I picked up that same experience. Except that lion and bear was called self. So tonight as I come to you, the Lord says, give what I've given you, and I'll go with you. So I desire your prayers. I think tonight about the Word of God. There are some verses that it says it's going to take some spiritual discernment to be able to understand them. But you know, tonight, there are some verses in the Bible that require no spiritual discernment. They're so plain. I've got a couple of them I'd like to start with tonight. I beg you for your prayers. In the 5th chapter of Galatians, it starts out talking about the works of the flesh. And it goes down through there, giving us a list. That list is not my concern tonight. What concerns me is where that verse ends up. It says, they that do such things shall not inherit. We're living in a time where a lot of interpreting is being done to the Word of God. There are people that are saying, you can make it. Yesterday morning we heard a message that was for me. We need to have faith in God. That faith will cause me to look at the Word of God and say, it doesn't matter if the whole world says I can make it and do those things. The Bible says it's not possible. I shall not inherit it if I do those things. I've got another one that I'd like to work with tonight. What I'm giving you is really nothing more than what the Lord's been dealing with me about, a warning for my soul. I desire to make heaven my home. I've started out for it. I told the Lord I'll do anything. You show me, I'll do anything. I want to make heaven. I didn't realize what that cost was when I said it, but I still mean it today. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 20th verse. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here's another verse. I can explain it how I want to. If I have faith in God to believe that when I stand before Him, this book will be open, and I'll be judged by this book. Then the Lord has started dealing with me. Unless my righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, explain it how I want to, I'll not make it in the end. So as I started seeing some of these verses that really need no deep spiritual discernment, if I believe the Word of God, I started saying, Lord, I need your help. I don't know. What was it about the Pharisees that unless mine is more than theirs, I'm guaranteed not to make it? There's another verse in the 12th chapter, first verse. Again, he tells us, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. As I think about that word, I looked up one of the meanings of a hypocrite is a stage actor. I'm playing the part, but I'm not that person. When I get through this evening, I'll go home and I'm another person. I want to tell you tonight, this message was sent for me. I'd like to just share it with you. So I started looking in the commentary. What is a Pharisee? What was happening that the Lord was so strong with what he had to say about it? I've written down a little something I'd ask you to bear with me while I read it to you. It says a Pharisee is one who is separated. The name was given these people because they separated themselves from all Levitical impurity. They were doubtless pure in the beginning, their design being to preserve the law from violation and the Jewish people from contamination. And the best they could tell, it started somewhere around 140 years before Christ. What's wrong with that? A people that came along and said, I see some impurities in the system. Think about when Samuel came along, the impurities that was in the system. Here comes a people, some Jews, that said, we remember what it was like before. We have a desire to get it back like it was before. Sounds like a perfect time for Christ to come. Somebody that has already started moving back toward the pure religion. He didn't come then. It says, as their influence increased, they lost much of their original simplicity. It says, the great error of most of them consisted in observing the mere external forms instead of seeking the inward purity of heart. It was but natural that such teachers should be bitterly opposed to Christ and that he should denounce them and warn the people against them. Looks like it had been a perfect fit. With Jesus coming, here's a group of people who have already started moving back toward pure religion. It says then, the Pharisees were one of Jesus' worst enemies. As I think about that, I'm not really interested tonight in a history lesson. Because I think of the verse that says, there were some things written aforetime, they were written for my learning. They were intended for me, for myself, to profit by it. I believe that's the intention of this verse when Jesus came along and said, be careful, because unless your righteousness exceeds that of these people that started out with a purpose, I want to make it. I want to get back to pure religion again, unless mine exceeds that. Thought about when Jesus came. You know, he had a tough time to start with. Because even for these people that were wanting to just move back and have pure religion, theirs was the law. The law that had been given by God to them. And here, that's what they were doing, was observing that law. You know, I believe Jesus had all kind of mercy, would have, with them, to be able to tell them. And I think about in the 17th verse of this same chapter, he tried to let them know what his purpose was. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy. I've come to fulfill it. An example of that, in that same chapter, in the 21st verse, he starts trying to give them some examples. I didn't come to take away what you're trying to do. I came to let you know there's something more that I want to give you. In the 21st verse, it says, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. One of the Ten Commandments, given a long time ago, thou shalt not kill. But here he's saying, I didn't come to take away that law. I wanted to fulfill it. So he goes on down to say, I want to do something in your heart. That's my purpose of coming, was not to just have these external forms. Maybe you didn't kill. Maybe that Jew did not commit murder. But in his heart, he would have. That's what Jesus came for. He said, my purpose was, I wasn't going to come to take away the law. What I want to do is come down and do a work in your heart. That's really the same that he's wanting to do today. He came to address the anger. Because he knew, if I can take care of that heart condition, this other will not be needed because it's going to come out. Another one in Matthew 23 and 23. Again, he's trying to let them know what you're doing is not all bad. But he started giving some woes. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone." So he's telling them, I'm not coming to tell you that all of the things that you've been practicing have been wrong, because God ordained it to be done before. But I'm wanting to come and tell you, I've got a work for you in the heart. And these people had cut them out a notch and said, here is where I'm satisfied with. I'll not move from this when God Himself sent someone to make a change. Now think of another one in Romans. In the 10th chapter, starting in the first verse, here is Paul. He's looking at the Jews, seeing what they've come through before Jesus came. He's got a desire for them. His desire wasn't to cut them off. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." So as the Lord started dealing with me on this, I started doing an inward search. It's not really going to help me too much for what we have read so far today for me to just take it as a little history lesson. Those Pharisees. God intends for me to bring it on down to where I live today. I think about another verse in the Revelations 3. The Laodicean church talks to me about what my perception can be about myself. And if I'm not careful, how far it can be from what God's perception is of me. Says in the 17th verse, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." God came to him and said, "I want to show you how you really are." And he didn't go on to say, "And there's no hope for you. I came to give you this report, and I'm letting you know it's over. I have no desire to take you back." I look on down in the 19th verse, and it brings hope to my heart. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." As I looked at that verse, and I looked at my life, it's God's mercy, it's His love, that He reveals to me who I am. It's His desire in the end to take me to heaven. And He says it won't be fair to Him to let Him go along with enough religion that He matches up with the Pharisees. But He's lost in the end. So He comes to me and He says, "In mercy, I'd like to show you who you are. And I'd like to walk you through the steps to bring you back to myself." Think of another verse in Hebrews 12 and 5. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." So it brought some hope to me. Because I tell you, He's had to do some chastening in my life. The devil has a plan for each person under this building tonight. It really doesn't matter to him how long it takes, nor what method he uses. He may have to use a different method on me than he uses on you. That matters not to him. He's got plenty of them. To some, it may be a desire for the world. I've got some goals in my life that I want to attain. And the devil says, I'll help them with it. For somebody else that says, I have no desire but to please the Lord. I wouldn't do anything but that. The devil still has a plan. He didn't stop with that. He'd be willing to do just like he did with the Pharisees. Let them go ahead and follow step by step the outward procedure. Jesus tried to work with that when he told them, you've been working on the outside of the platter and the cup. He didn't tell them, forget about the outside. Take care of the inside and the outside won't matter. No, he came on back to them and he told them, if you'll take care of the inside first, that outside will come along. We're living in a time where part of perception is, the Lord knows my heart. He does. He knew my heart. And I want to tell him tonight, thanks. That in mercy, he came to me and said, Dan, I know you've had a desire. I don't want you to become one of those stage actors. I've known the truth all my life. My parents brought me here when I was a baby. I know step by step the outward form to live. The Lord comes to me just like I believe he did to the Pharisees. I'm not knocking that. But I want to come down and I want to tell you. I want to show you what's in the heart. There's a verse in a song that says, my soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. I used to say, you know, I believe that's kind of exaggerated maybe. Not now. I believe he's probably got more than that. He's got a plan for each of us tonight. He knows where your weakness is. He knows where mine is. So in my life, he came along and said, just like with the Pharisees, I want to give him another chance. I want to show him that I'm not knocking the outward, but I've got something that I want to do in his heart. Amen. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what he did for me. You know, sometimes we wish we could get up here and say, I've lived it perfect, and this is just for y'all. I can't do that tonight. But I want to tell the Lord a great big thanks that he spent some time and came back to me. Almost 2 years ago, and those of you that have heard it, excuse me, because I'll probably be telling it more. Almost 2 years ago, there was a meeting held at Guthrie. And I know the messages have probably come forth on the same line throughout the years. Somehow, I wasn't in the place to receive it. That day, my desire and the Lord's desire met together. There was a message preached, like the one this morning, that God came to Moses, and in my own mind, I can almost see him saying, I just hate living apart from y'all. Would you build me a house? I'd like to come and dwell with you. I'd like to go along with y'all. I want to tell you, he didn't tell him, I want it so bad, you just build me any kind of house, and I'll come on in. I was looking in my Bible. I believe there's 13 pages of instruction that he gave them. I want to move in. I want to abide with you. But I've got some requirements. I want it bad, but I'll not change those requirements. If you want my presence, you're going to have to come up to me. As that message came, somehow God touched my heart. I got a yearning in my heart I got saved when I was a teenager. I know when I went up to be sanctified, I gave my all to the Lord. But the Lord came along, and somehow He gave me a picture that there was more of the Lord's presence. He said, "You haven't even started yet." And I thought I was doing good. So I thought, you know, I believe I'll have some of that. I went to the altar that day, and I guess I expected the Lord to just pour me out a bucket of it, and I'd go on back to my seat with it. But He didn't. I told the Lord I'll stay up here till I get through, so I desire Your prayers. His answer to me was, "There's no room. There's too much self. I want to give You my presence, but we're going to have to work something out." And He won't change. But somehow I had a picture of it. And I said, "Lord, I'm going for it." At that time I told the Lord, "I'll do anything for Your presence, for more of Your presence in my life. You show me, and I'll do it." Just like in that building that Moses did, I told the Lord that day, I said, "You show me what You want me to do. If You want me to do some remodeling, I'll do it. If it just needs to be painted, I'll do it. Lord, if I need to tear it down and start over, I'll do it. I'm going for Your presence." And I want to tell you something. When you do that, the devil would love to come in and cloud it all up. He would love to take an opportunity right here and say, "You've done so many things, you could never even clear them up, so don't even start." I want to tell you something from experience. If that happens, just wait a little bit, because that wasn't the Lord. He'll show you step by step. He did it with me. You know where the first step was? He said, "Dan, I want you to go home and take care of some things there. We've been married for 30 years. You know, sometimes those that we love the most, we can hurt. And if we're not careful, we'll justify it. I'm just having a bad day." Thank you. "I was just having a bad day there. Or, that's just the way I am." If we're not careful, we'll justify. You know, we could pass it down, "That's just the way my dad was, or my mom was." We can try to blame it on somebody else. But you know what? When I start to get the Lord's presence, I want it in my life, I can't pass it off to anybody else now. It's time to get honest with the Lord. Because otherwise, when I get all through, I'm still going to have no more righteousness than the Pharisee had. So I said, "Lord, if You'll show me, I'll take care of it." I want to tell you tonight, if the Lord never does, if I never see another case of divine healing, I saw one then. Because the Lord came to me and said, "It's simple. You need to die to yourself." And you know what? That desire was so strong for the Lord's presence. This is what's hindering it. Let me take care of that. When I did, the Lord worked a miracle in my home. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about a change. And that change started in me. We're living in a time where we have rights. The world will tell you you have rights. Don't let anybody overrun you, because nobody else is going to stand up for your rights. I want to encourage you today. And as I told you, this message is for me. And I really don't want to come here and turn it around to where it makes it look like, oh yeah, I've been doing fine and it's for you. No, this message was for me. But I'd like to tell you, I'd like to give you a report tonight. To the men here in the congregation, should you ever have a problem in your home, I want to highly recommend that you die to self. It worked a miracle in my home. So when they got through with that, the Lord said, we're not through yet. But I tell you, when I saw what he had done there, I said, lead on, because we're headed in the right direction. The Lord started. Now you see why I said not at Monarch. The Lord started taking me step by step. Here's what we need to do. There was no blur to me. There's people in this congregation that he told me, this person you need to go back to. When I went and took care of that, he let me know here's something else. And I'll tell you one of them. The Lord said, I want you to go back to LaRonger. I live in Guthrie. There had been some church problems years ago. And I hate to say this, but it seems like when there was trouble, it seemed like if you could say, I wonder where it's Dan, it seemed like I was mixed up in the middle of it. But the Lord said, we're going to make a different person out of you here now, if you want my presence. Even though you thought you were right in the past, and years have passed, things are lining up now, I'll give you my presence. But we got to take care of the past. So at first, that's a long ways from Guthrie down to LaRonger. So many ways you'd like to do it. Send a postcard. Do something. The Lord said, I want you to go down there. At first I said, okay, next spring I'll try to go. Take some vacation. I'll go down there and I'll take care of that. The Lord spoke to my heart. Are you willing to wait that long for more of my presence? I said, no, Lord. I want it now. Called Brother Michael. Said, I plan to leave early on Sunday morning. I need to talk to y'all Sunday night. That's a long ways to drive down there with that over your head. When I got up that morning, told the Lord, Lord, that's a long ways to go. Would you go with me? I've never felt it like I did before. I've heard it. I've heard people talk about it. It would have been no more real to me if the Lord would have got in the driver's, in the passenger side and shut the door. All that distance down there, I could feel him talking to me. It wasn't all good things either. He was letting me know, here's the things that have caused you problem in the past. Today we'll not even deal with whether you knew it, whether you didn't. Today I'm going to show it to you. And I had plenty of hours to hear it. But my heart was open. I got down there, and the saints there were so easy on me. Took care of what I needed to do. Turned around the next morning and drove back home. Again, I felt the Lord in the car with me all the way home, bringing songs, bringing encouragement. Amen. I remember as I drove in to the yard that night, I told the Lord, I sure appreciate you going with me. I appreciate you helping me. I'm almost sorry to be home now, and you're going to get out. I'll never forget it. He said, get out. There's room for me to stay now. And I tell you, the way I look at it now, I say, Lord, you show me anything. And he did. I thought that night, I have arrived. It's all taken care of now. During the night, the Lord said, Dan, on your job, there was a, you know, we're talking about being a Christian. And people that'll never go to church, looking at my life, and saying, that was Christ. And as the Lord started dealing with me about some of those things, in fact, about the one in LaRonda, he said, you know, I get to blame for a lot of things I didn't do. He said, in fact, when you were doing that, I wasn't even there. So I want you to correct some things. Take the blame for them yourself. And as I did that, he came in. So he told me about that one on my job. No longer did I say, I'll take care of it sometime. I'm starting to feel the Lord's presence in my life. I'm not talking about an emotion again. I'm talking about an assurance. There's been times in my life before that I spent some time saying, when the Lord calls for me, I sure would like to be ready. I want to tell you something. When you tell the Lord, I want your presence, and you start dumping, you no longer have to worry about that. Because when his presence comes in, you will have communicated that day. And now I'm just moving on over to have another visit with you, should you call for me. So he talked to me, said, let's go take care of that at work. To be Christ-like in everything, I'm going to have to depict Christ, or I really need to go back to those that took that as what Christ is and make a change. Went to my bosses that day, and I told them, I need to talk to you. It had been a year since the event had happened. So as I talked to them, you know, it's amazing when the Lord deals with you to go back to somebody like that, that 1 minute they can be cursing. But you know, as I gave them the story, and I said, you know, this is an opportunity to unload the whole thing on them. So I started back with what I've told you tonight, wanting the Lord's presence in my life. And you know, they were religious men there with me. They were in all agreement. It's an opportunity to let the world know this is what a Christian is. So as I went back and I took care of those in my home, he said, there's some things there that don't depict Christ. It doesn't matter if you had a bad day. So I've started saying, Lord, in everything, let me depict Christ. To my family, to those on my job, to those that I'll meet, just, and I'll never see them again. It doesn't matter. My life may be the only Bible that they read. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about something. I remember when I went up for sanctification. To the best of my knowledge, I gave everything to the Lord. But the Lord has started dealing with me. My perception was wrong. And I want to explain it to you. Because I believe it will help me in the future. The children of Israel, when they crossed over the Jordan River, that was a definite experience. When their feet touched over on the Canaan side, you didn't have to ask them, are you in Canaan or not? They were there. They had done what the Lord told them to do. They had followed each of the steps, and they were in Canaan. But the Lord didn't tell them, when your feet touch Canaan, all of those giants will be moving out the other end. He left them. This is where my perception was wrong. I remember the day I gave everything to the Lord. Somehow, in my perception, that was to take care of the future. Instead, that was the beginning of the future for them. You'll always be able to look back to this experience because you're going to build a monument here that you made the crossing, that you made the consecration. I'll give everything to you. There's a city ahead that you're going to have to fight. In that city, their requirement was, be quiet. Just walk around it. Don't say a word. I'll tell you, I've gotten something from that too. I'm a person, and I know y'all already know that, I've got an opinion about most everything. And I've been willing to share it with people that want it, and even if people don't want it, I have an opinion. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. Sometimes we need to keep it to ourselves. That first city that they came to, silence was what was required. The Lord gave me a verse on that one. I want you to study to be quiet. When trouble comes up, go to studying to be quiet. They had some other cities. There was one that they came to. They looked it over in their own strength. You know, we just talked about that verse where they decided to take their own righteousness. I see how to take this city. They didn't ask the Lord how to do it. They made a league with it. The Lord started showing me. Even though you had that initial experience, every day, you're going to have to come back to me again. You're going to have to die to yourself. It's a requirement. If you don't do it, just like we heard this morning, the oil is going to burn up. And if I'm not careful, when it burns up, I'll hold on to the form. Think about the verse that says, a form of godliness. I won't give up the form. I need this shell anyhow. Even though inside I've got attitudes, I've got sharp words that have a barb on them, things that if I really would admit it, and I'm talking about myself tonight, if I really would admit it, I would say, the things I've read about Christ, I don't think He'd have done that. So the Lord's been talking to me. There's something more. I started out for His presence, and He's got a desire for me to have it. So He started letting me know, each day, I want you to seek my face. When you come to the trial, don't rely on that day way back there that you made that consecration. Each day, I need to make a consecration. And I tell you, when the Lord sends things our way, when people come against us out in the world and cause us trouble, so often in the past I've seen that. And even prayed about it. Lord, I'd like for you to take care of that problem. You know, the disciples in that city where they said, Lord, would you have us, what about if we call down fire out of heaven? He said, you know not what spirit you're of. You know, I really believe that the troubles that the Lord sends us is to help us to see what spirit we're of. And I want to tell you, He does it in love. He did it in love to me. But His desire is that never again will I justify myself. If I did not depict Christ in my life, don't justify it. Come back to the Lord and ask Him to help me. Because my desire is to be a Christian. I look at the love that the Lord showed me through this. I think about when I was a child, as probably most have had to do, my parents had to correct me often. And I think about one thing that never happened was that for something I'd done wrong one day, that I got corrected for it, but the next day they come back and say, you know, just the thought of that makes me want to just whip you again. Never happened. When they took care of it one time, that was it. I want to tell you, the love of the Lord is just like that. Now, I may have gotten another one the next day, but it was for something else. It wasn't for that same thing. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. The things that He sends our way, accept it as His love, because He showed it to me. The Lord has done that for me. The past is the past. If I show you something else, go take care of it. I'm not here to cast you down. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It wasn't his desire when he was dealing with the Pharisees. I've come here, I have no desire for them to make it. No, he had a desire that they make it. I believe he would have worked with them. I believe he understood the transition that it would have taken to go from following the law to now starting a hard experience. But they wouldn't do it. They had already cut out a notch. This is what I'm satisfied with, and I believe I can make it from here. I think of another place in closing. In the 6th chapter of John, Jesus had just fed the multitude, and he had lots of followers. They followed him again after that, and he let them know, "You're following me for the loaves and the fishes, the good things that I provide in your life. But now we want to come on down to what I really come for. I need you to eat my flesh. I need you to drink my blood. Now we're coming down to a point where I want you to start accepting the doctrine that I have." And it was not what many of the people wanted. And it said, some of them said it's a hard saying. And in a little bit, said many of them turned, went back, and walked with him no more. So he turned to his disciples. "Will you also go away?" Their response is, "To whom would we go?" That's my response tonight. Lord, whatever you call for me. And I'll tell you, it's not all the wonderful things. There's some dealings in my life, but it's because he has a requirement, just like he had with Moses. 13 pages. But build it this way, and you'll have my presence in your life. When it was built that way, the glory of the Lord came down. And I'll tell you, I've been feeling it in my own life. A carefulness. Now I understand what sanctification was intended to do. That the Spirit of the Lord moves in, and before I speak too hasty, that he be able to check me. Should I speak too hasty, I don't have to wait years to go back. And I'm again searching, "Lord, I want your presence more in my life." It can be a daily experience. My desire is to walk carefully before the Lord. I want to say to you, as each of you go through life, if the Lord checks you, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. It's his mercy. He wants to take us each one to heaven. We can make it. And tonight, I want to say to him a great big thanks. And I ask him to continue to lead on. Help me in no place in my life to be as the Pharisees. Because it's a guarantee. At the time that I take care of the outside only, but I have neglected the inner man, it's a guarantee. Your righteousness, if it didn't exceed theirs, you will not enter heaven. I take that as a challenge to me. I desire your prayers.